All right, let's turn to Exodus, the book of Exodus. Let my people go, chapter 6. Now the Lord said to Moses, "Now you shall see what I will do to Pharaoh." So there's no burden on you, there's no burden on Israel. God's not expecting man to do anything. Moses can't lead the people out. The people can't even get out. They don't even want to get out. Totally what God is going to do. Unless you conquer the kingdom of darkness, you cannot build the kingdom of God. If you're going to build the kingdom of God, it always has to be at Satan's expense. So it's a zero-sum game. In other words, if somebody wins, somebody loses. So if God wins, Satan loses. If Satan wins, God loses. So it's not possible to gain something in the kingdom like I'm born again without destroying the enemy in the process. So whenever God prevails in your life, and to the extent he prevails, to that extent, the enemy is thrown back. The problem with the church today is that the church is not gaining enough ground to overthrow Satan. That's why Satan is still in charge. Now, if you have political problems, you have moral problems. If you have moral problems, you have religious problems. So all the problems of the world are related to your foundation. If you have a foundation problem, you're going to have a building problem. So here's your foundation, and the key to the foundation is not two, but is one. So until you solve one, you can't solve two, and until you solve two, you cannot have the fruit or the benefit of three. So our present economic crisis in this country, our present political bondage, injustice, legal problems, is all related to our spiritual problems. You solve the spiritual problems, you've solved every problem. We have social problems, economic problems, political problems today, not because there are bad guys out there. It isn't the bad guys that win, it's the good guys that aren't there. If there were good guys who were truly good, there wouldn't be any bad guys in control. The reason you have bad guys in control is because the good guys aren't as good as they think they are. In other words, they're not really good. And the problem is you've been born again, but you haven't actually gotten all the sin out of your life. Sin is forgivable, but self must be destroyed. I'll say it again. Sin is forgivable. God forgives sins. That's not what you need. That only starts the process. He'll forgive the sin, but he wants the self dead, not forgiven. And what we do is we want the sins forgiven and the self forgiven. We want to indulge the self, allow the self to coexist. No. The first thing the Holy Spirit does when he comes into your life is make sure you know that your sins are forgiven. The second thing he does is let's get rid of the self, and that's going to take your death, not your life. Churches today get your sins forgiven and then keep you alive. Wrong. They must get you dead right away. In other words, you should not be keeping yourself. People are still selfish. It isn't that you're sinning, that's forgivable. It's that you're still running the show. That is not forgivable. That must be crucified. You're rebellious. Well, my sins are forgiven. I believe in Jesus. It doesn't matter. That was only for the purpose. That was not the end. That was the means to an end. That was only for the purpose of being able to destroy yourself. Many of you are still living your own lives. You're making your own decisions. I don't care if they're good decisions or bad decisions. They're yours. They are not the Holy Spirit. Good decisions stink in the nostrils of God. It's a stench to him that you did it and you called it good. You didn't ask God. Anything you do stinks to God. Anything you do, even if you go to church, that stinks to God. If you came to church, that is evil in God's sight. You must be led by the Holy Spirit. Everything Jesus did was led by the Holy Spirit. We live by every word that comes out of his mouth. A lot of what the churches do today, we call good. Well, he was kind to his neighbor. He did this and he did that. He was moral and so on. That stinks to God. He doesn't want it because you weren't dead. You were still alive. You did it. Some people are going to say on the last day, "Lord, Lord, we did this in your name. We did miracles. We saved a lot of people. We did signs. We did wonders." And he's going to say, "Get away from me. Depart from me. You are evildoers because you did them." I didn't did them. The Holy Spirit is in us to will and to do. You don't have to be willing. You don't have to do. God wants to be your will and to do your deeds. One time somebody said to Jesus, good teacher, he said, why do you call me good? Well, because you did good works. You've walked on water, healed the sick. You've done all these. He said, I didn't do the works. The Father who dwells in me doeth the works. Give God the glory. The problem today in the church is you're doing a lot of good works, and therefore you will not be received by God. If you did the work, it stinks in the nostrils of God. And the church today is teaching it's just enough to believe in Jesus. No, it isn't. The believing in Jesus, faith must be active in love. There are things that accompany salvation, and pastors don't want to teach it because the people don't like it. The people don't like it, and I know you people are fine. You people don't mind because you're ready to go through suffering. Amen? Oh, I don't know if I heard everybody. Amen? Because the suffering is not having anything to do with your sins. It has to do with yourself. Yourself is still on the throne. Jesus is on the throne only in your imagination. It's only in your spiritual man. You've been born again, yes, but you're not living a born-again life. No, because you're not willing to go through the death and the suffering and the sorrow that it takes to kill off your old man. So you're a Christian, but your marriage stinks. You're a Christian, but your business is crooked. You're a Christian, but you still pollute yourself. You're a Christian, but you don't look like, act like, talk like, and live like Jesus because Jesus can't get through, even though you're a Christian. Even though you believe in Jesus, you believe in him for eternal life, but you don't trust him for your day-to-day life. You want happiness rather than truth. And because you want happiness, you'll lose both. Seek the truth. Seek first the kingdom of God. I'll give you everything else. Happiness is a gift. It's not an achievement. You're not going to get anywhere, and we're not anywhere, and I'm a prophet, and I'm speaking as a pastor, but I'm also speaking as a prophet right now and telling you the Lord is not pleased, and he cannot come back right now, and we are not overthrowing the kingdom of darkness. The kingdom of darkness is triumphing. That's why you have a spiritual crisis, you have an economic crisis, you have a social crisis, you have a political crisis, you have a legal crisis, you have a moral crisis. All these crises are due to you. They're not due to any bad guys out there. The bad guys are always bad. It's you who call yourself good who are not. You're a hypocrite and a liar. Can I hear an amen? Amen. So you must do something. What? Nothing. He will do it all. Only God can promise this. Your problem is not doing. Your problem is not believing. God isn't saying, obey me. What he's saying is, believe me. Trust me. You trust in yourself. You trust in other people. You are not trusting in the Lord. Put not your trust in man. Put your trust in the Lord. Is everybody with me? All right. Now, you came here today to be fed. I'm going to feed you. But you may not like the food. Sometimes kids don't like the peas. Sometimes they don't like the liver. Maybe they don't like, you know, spinach. You know, whatever. I guess President Bush's father didn't like broccoli. You know, whatever it is you don't like. It has nothing to do with what you like. It has to do with what the Lord wants you to eat. Because maybe the neurotoxins in your body aren't going to be driven out because you eat sugar. Maybe the neurotransmitters in your life won't appear because you're not willing to give up the salt. Maybe you want to season yourself in ways that God doesn't want the fat and the trans fatty acids and so on. So as your physical body is sick, so also your spiritual life is sick. You're not growing, even though you're a Christian, even though you have every reason to be well and healthy and whole and to accomplish all kinds of things for God, you are becoming corrupted. You are becoming weaker. You are not overthrowing the enemy. The enemy is coming over Christians. They're depressed rather than excited all the time. You should be happy all the time. I'll say that again. You should be happy all the time. Happy is the man that trusts in the Lord. If you trust in the Lord, you're always happy. The problem is you don't. You love him, but you don't trust him. You love him, but you don't trust him. You love him because he's going to save you for eternity, but you don't trust him day to day in your daily walk. You trust yourself. You trust your brains. You trust your goodness. You trust your strength. You are wrong. That is evil. Now, aren't you glad you came? So I want to speak these things to you in case I drop dead, because now that I'm 69, I'm almost 70. You're only allowed 70 years, so I've only got one more year to get this to you. Now, We have saved the best to the last. What God wants to do is have a bride without spot or wrinkle, and he will not come back for a harlot. His church can only be one of two things, harlot, bride. One sin is enough to make you a harlot. One affair, that's enough. Whether you went all the way or part of the way, whether you just held hands or kissed, it's whorish. When you belong to God, he wants you holy, pure, and spotless, without blemish. Now, your problem is you think you can do it, and therefore you excuse yourself when you do it. You cannot do it, and Jesus is the only one that can give you a new heart. You can't give yourself a new heart. You can't have true religion, the foundation of justice. Nor can you have true morality, the foundation of justice. You can only have justice when, in fact, you have true religion in your heart. You can't have Buddhism. Buddhism can never make justice. You can't have Hinduism. It'll never make justice. America today is saying all religions are equal. No, they're not. They're not equal at all. A false religion is idolatry. Idolatry leads to immorality. Immorality leads to injustice. You will never have a just society. This country was founded on a different foundation, and today we have lost our foundation. The founding fathers were very clear that if you're going to have a land of liberty, you'll have to have a land of justice. And if you're going to have justice, you're going to have true religion in the foundation. Now, it does not have to be a Christian nation. It cannot be a Christian nation. It is not a Christian nation. Never was and never will be. There is no such thing as a Christian nation. The church is the only nation that is holy. You are a royal priesthood and holy nation, drawn out of all the nations of this world. That is the only nation that God recognizes as an eternal, spiritual, and holy nation. No nation on this earth will pass into heaven. Not Israel, not America, not Russia, not China, no nation. Nations will all perish. But people, individuals, out of those nations who accept the Lord, fear the Lord, and obey the Lord in the power of the Spirit. You don't obey yourself. You have to obey by the power of the Spirit. And the reason you don't is because you're still alive. The Spirit wants to kill you, and you want to quench the Spirit. You don't want him to kill you. You still want to be alive, make your own decisions, think your own thoughts, do your own thing. You're not asking what God wants. You're asking what makes you happy. Well, I don't like that. Well, I don't want that. Well, I don't. You have to begin to say, look, it doesn't matter what I will, it's what God wills. It doesn't matter what I think, it's what God thinks. It doesn't matter the way I see it or understand it. Who cares what you think, what you wish, what you want, what you feel? Now, could I hear an amen? Amen. Yeah, that's exciting. This is good preaching. This is very good preaching. Now, the fact that you don't understand what I'm going to say is not because you lack brains. It's because you don't want to. Now, could I hear somebody say amen?
Amen.
Yeah. You do not want to. Do you know that people would rather be slaves than free? When God came down into Israel and said to them, I'm going to set you free from the bondage of Egypt, not one Israeli said, amen. They all said, what about onions? What about onions? Where are we going to get our onions? Well, I want to take you out of Egypt, out of the land of bondage. I want to set you free to worship me. They did not want to worship God from their heart. They would rather be in bondage. They'd rather be in idolatry, immorality, and injustice, and put up with it. Did you know that people can put up with a lot of abuse? People love abuse. Why? Why would people love abuse? Why would people love bondage? Why would people love to have security rather than liberty? Why do we want homeland security rather than the home of the brave and free? Because we're not brave, and therefore we're not free, because we want security rather than liberty. Why? Because you don't want to suffer. You don't want to suffer. Your founding fathers suffered. They lost their life, liberty, and their properties. They gave up everything in order to have a free land for their children and their posterity. That's us. But we do not today want to defend what we have, because we no longer regard such things as gifts of God. Now, God does not want you to do anything. He wants you to believe something and trust him. He will do everything. So when he says to Pharaoh, I will do, you watch and see. I'm not asking you to do anything. You watch and see what I'll do. Chapter 6, verse 1. Then the Lord said to Moses, now you shall see what I will do to Pharaoh. Only God can break an unjust government. Only God can put Pharaoh down. Only God can break America. You know, in those days, Pharaoh, Egypt, was the superpower of the day. And God saw that that superpower had corrupted itself and was holding inside of it his people. Now his people are to be holy and pure and spotless. So I'm going to make a cross right here. I'll make a cross, and I'm going to write these words: holy, spiritual, eternal. Now, God is into a church that is holy, spiritual, and eternal. That's a bridal church. That would be the bride of Christ. That's what God wants. And if you put that into the foundation, you will have a just government. You'll have a free people. You'll have a booming economy. You'll have peace on earth. But if you don't, if you have any other false religion, any other idolatry, now I'm going to draw idolatry. This is a pyramid that is not finished. And the god of that pyramid is on your dollar bill. The eye of Ra, or the eye of Horus, or the unseen god, that eye is what Egypt worshipped. Egypt has always worshipped, and every nation on the face of the earth has always worshipped the sun god, the moon god, animals. It doesn't matter what it is. It's a creature rather than the creator. That is not the living God. That is a false god called idolatry. Now, idolatry, whenever you have an idol at the top, and no pyramid of man has ever been finished and never will be finished. Anything man does won't work. It'll never finish. Idolatry always leads, always, to immorality. Idolatry in the people will lead to immorality in the people, will lead to injustice in the nation. And there'll be no freedom. There will be economic, political, and social darkness, chaos, exactly what we're experiencing today. So what that means is we are an immoral people today. That's because we are an idolatrous people who have the name of God but actually are running our own show. Because our families are no longer then under God, because this is not a nation under God, we're experiencing economic problems. It's not because of, you know, some policy that the government has come up with. Political problems, legal problems, you don't even have a law system anymore, and also social problems. We are a divided nation. Today, in every way, all of these problems are the reason why you cannot have justice. You have darkness, because at the head of it is not God. We are no longer, though the nation started out and the foundations are still there. These foundations are still, we're still Christians, there's still Christians here, but those Christians are not growing. Those Christians, you, I'm not talking about somebody else. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, if my people who are called by my name will confess their sins, if my people will turn from their wicked ways, then, I will forgive their sins. I then will heal their land. In other words, God will do it. No man can do it. No man can give you a new government. No man can give you a new government. You can have a new government in name, but it will never work out in fact. Now, the founding fathers actually gave you a new government built on God. They put God in the foundation. They put true religion in the foundation today. And by the way, you could not come into court all during the first 100 years of our government if you were an atheist. if you did not believe in God. Today, atheism is considered equal to religion. Now, they allowed atheists to be in the country, but they would not allow them to hold office or ever come into court. Because there is, if there is no God, there's no morality. And if there's no morality, there can be no justice. There can only be chaos. And the whole history of the world bears witness to that fact. So our founders, who feared God, did not make Jesus in the political house. It's not a Christian nation. They didn't make a Christian nation like so many are clamoring for today. Worst thing you could do is to make this a Christian nation. Then we would have to force people to be Christian. A Christian nation is a contradiction in terms. It's an oxymoron. You cannot have a nation which is secular of this world be linked together with Christian, which is free. You cannot mix clean and unclean. You cannot mix the things that belong to God with the things that belong to man. The foundation belongs to God. The house, if it's man-made, it will perish. And all governments of this world are going to perish. Now, we as a church today are part of the political house. We are not a free church. There are no churches free. Yet God wanted pure, pure doctrine. 16th century, Martin Luther, 1517, he reestablished, took away from the Catholic Church its Catholicity and said, we don't want the government, which is nothing but force. All the government is force. It just compels you. It forces you. When they make a law, they enforce it. So there's no freedom. There's no liberty there. This is all the liberty there is. This is liberty. This is law. Wherever there's law, there's force. And therefore, God wants people's religion and their morality to be under Him. So liberty under God. Under God. So God wants His church to be under Him, and He doesn't want false religion. So if the true religion is in people, but it can't be forced, then it has to be in your heart, and only God can change the heart. You cannot make a man have a true heart. Only God can force you. He can force you outwardly. The government can force you outwardly to go to a certain church. You can be an Anglican in England, or you could be, you know, a Puritan in Massachusetts. So you can force people. Everybody in this state will be such and such. Today, every church in America is under the government, forced by the government to do what the government says and to take the benefits from the government and not from God. Therefore, this country cannot thank God because it thanks the government for a 501c3 tax exemption. Thank the government for a state incorporation. Thank the government for a local tax exemption because the church doesn't want to suffer. So it wants to take onions and leeks from Egypt. It wants to take benefits out of Egypt. So in 1491 BC, God, 1491 BC, other scholars and other people don't give that date as clearly as I just did. They don't know that Moses' mother was Queen Hatshepsut, the queen of Egypt. But you know what? It's all in the Bible. It's all in the Bible. All you got to do is add up the numbers in the Masoretic text. That Masoretic text, that is the Hebrew text, tells us the exact ages of Adam and his son 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 and so on. And therefore, it tells us exactly when the flood was, 1659, world era. From the beginning of time until 1659, 1,659 years later, there was a flood. And at the end of that flood, we know exactly how many days, how many months, how many everything. We know all the exact numbers because they're right there in the Bible. But people today doubt the Bible. And anyone who goes to TCU or SMU or any of the smart universities around the world, and I have all the smarts, they believe that they're smart. I say they're wrong. Not only do I say they're wrong, they're deliberately wrong. Not only do I say they're deliberately wrong, they choose to be ignorant of what God has written in the book because they don't fear God and they want to lead the people astray, and that's exactly why we are where we are. Once we got rid of God, we got rid of ourselves. Once you thought you knew what you were doing, you have divorce. You have perversion. You have immorality. You have drugs. You have all kinds of things out of control, and nobody can solve them because force cannot make people be good. You can make people behave, but you can't make them be good from the heart. And without heart religion, you'll never have justice. You'll never have a social society which is happy or free or peaceful. You cannot have something in the world. So I don't imagine why people get excited about any election, because your whole political structure is gone. De Tocqueville, in 1835, said this in his book called On Democracy. America is great today because she's good. When she ceases to be good, she will cease to be great. We have ceased. Now, I'm not putting anyone down, because I told you the problem is us. I'm not blaming anybody. I'm not blaming some conspiracy of bankers or some Jewish Kabbalists or whatever all the conspiracy theories are. And I know them all. I'm not blaming anybody. I'm blaming us, because God blames us. It's your fault that you don't pray, you don't read the scripture, you don't praise God, you don't clean up your life, you haven't got rid of yourself, you still want happiness in this world, you want Jesus plus. Not going to work. Aren't you glad you came? Because what I'm telling you actually will restore not only your church, not only your own life, not only our nation and society, but even your physical health. Because you have turned away from God, nothing is going to work. Apart from me, you can do nothing. In me, through me, by me, you can do all things. Now, it isn't over until the fat lady sings. And she hasn't sung yet. What that's saying to you is, this is not yet the end. The end is when 3.5 years comes. It's called the time of Jacob's trouble. For 3.5 years, the Jewish people will go through the furnace until the sons of Levi are purified. They have to go through 7 times. They've gone through 6. Adolf Hitler was the 6th. What happened in Europe many years ago was the last time that they went through the furnace. They did not, when they went through that furnace, cry out and say, "It's our sin. God is after us. We have sinned." And the reason she doesn't cry out like that and has to go through one more time, even though her whole motto is never again. If you go to Israel today, as I've been many times, you will see there's a museum there, Yad Vashem. They say, what happened to us then? Let's have a monument, show all the pictures and photographs of what awful things happened to a people, how degraded the Germans were to the Jewish people. Let's not have that happen again. It will. It is. And no man can stop it. No George Bush can stop it. No Obama, the miracle worker, can stop it. Nobody's going to stop it, because it's God's will that Israel go through 7 times. This is the last time. This time, she will say, it's our own fault. We sinned. The Jewish people brought this on themselves. It's not anti-Semites that do it. It's not all of our enemies that hate us because we're Jewish. It's our own sin. And God is after us, not to destroy us, but to cause us to repent and say, we tried to do it on our own. We tried to keep the law. We did not have the faith of Moses. We were law keepers under Moses, and we wouldn't take Abraham's faith when we heard the law of Moses. We tried to do it. We're still trying to do it. And to this day, the Jewish people are still trying to be decent and good. You are not decent and good. You will never be decent and good. And the church has given a horrible light to this world. Why? Because you're no good. And you don't want to admit it. You want to say, no, well, we're a little bit good. We're certainly not perfect, but a lot better than we used to be. A lot better than other people, some other people. We're not as bad as Adolf Hitler. We're not as bad as Charles Manson. We're not as bad as the Muslims that kill and maim and destroy. Yes, you are. You are exactly equal to all of those monsters and demonic people. And if you don't know it, that shows your demonic nature, because God says quite the opposite. He says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And therefore, the church today doesn't want to hear that message, so they hear another message. Everything is fine. God is good. He loves you. Come and get healed and get blessed and have a lot of money. Okay, let's see how that works. Let's see how that works. I guarantee you it will not work. Now, I'm not a pastor today. I'm a prophet today. But I like being a prophet. I'm a good prophet. A fiery prophet. You know what happens to prophets? Death. So you may not want to be a prophet. You may not want to be a prophet, but I don't really care. I am a prophet, and I'm not afraid of death. I welcome it. Let it happen. But I may not die because God may want his prophecy to go forth. And you see, God can protect his prophets if he wants to. He can also throw them away if he doesn't want to. It's a kind of a deal there. We have no power to do anything but what God tells us to do. What he says to say, I say. What he says to do, I do. If he doesn't say it, I don't say it, and I don't do it. I'm not interested. And if I do do it, and I do say it, I have to ask forgiveness and go to him until my self is dead. It isn't the sin that's the problem. It's the self. So, woe be unto you if you are excusing your sins today. Because the reason you were forgiven is not so you could sin and go to heaven with all your sins. Because you won't go to heaven with your sins. And they won't just fall off because you drop dead. God wants your sins gone. He wants you to be a bride without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. He's not coming back to make the bride holy. He's coming back for a holy bride. Well, how will we accomplish such a thing? Because he left the Holy Spirit. He left the Holy Spirit. Jesus, the Lord, working through the Holy Spirit, is now cleaning us up if we will be clean. Will you? Now, the first thing is pure doctrine. The second thing is pure life. And the third thing is free churches. 16th century, 17th century, 18th century. In the 19th century, worldwide global missions. That was restored. Then in the 20th century, Pentecostal power. 1900, right on the dot. As soon as the 20th century dawned, the power of the Holy Spirit began to fall on people. It was totally rejected. Another thing that he restored, that power. But the problem was, there was no structure for that power, so the Pentecostals went nowhere. In 1960, he raised up another idea. He wanted his church to be structured, ordered, governmented, according to the New Testament, according to the power of the Holy Spirit. The charismatic movement was not to sing happy songs or to get healings or to have some kind of, wealthier people. That was not the purpose of the charismatic renewal. It was actually to put new wineskins upon the new wine that God was flowing. So the power that came in through the beginning of the century got dissipated, and the Pentecostal pastors fell into all kinds of idolatry, adultery, fornication, and every other perversion. Because you cannot have power without structure. So in 1960, God began to restructure his church so that it would be built on a true foundation. So now, pure doctrine, holy life, free churches, worldwide mission, Pentecostal power, plus structure. And the last thing, and all of that, was for pure worship. So that we would not do anything, let the Holy Spirit do it all. Let the Holy Spirit be in you to will and do. That should renew your families. That should renew you, the individual. That should give you a new heart and a new soul and a new life and a new family and new churches. We don't have it. We have talk. We have people that, well, I believe in all that. But it's not a matter of believing. Faith active in love. It's a matter of love. Where is the love? Where is the enemy overthrown today? The enemy is stronger than ever, and the church is weaker than ever. And the cheap, shallow mission of the church today is just to get a lot of members. Get everybody healthy and happy and so on. Won't work. It'll never happen. All those churches will collapse. I'll prophesy right now without fear of contradiction. All those churches will be down in the dirt. I don't care if somebody says, well, he wouldn't do that to his own church. That's true, but it's not his own church. He'll only defend his own. And he's looking for a bride without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. The problem is there's no foundation. That's why the nation today is judged. And the nation is not going to be restored until we. Imagine God foolishly. This is so foolish of God. Imagine that he's going to build his kingdom one heart at a time. And then after that, and that only takes a few seconds to get a new heart in somebody, but it's still not easy. But he wants to do it one by one by one by one. How many know that there's billions of people and he's doing it one by one? It's a rather silly way of doing it. But that's the way God does it in his wisdom. And he's never going to change his mind. Number two, he wants your soul dead. He wants yourself no longer to be in charge. He wants your soul to be completely operated by the Holy Spirit. As your heart is full, so he wants you to love the Lord with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength. So he wants to change your heart, then your soul, which takes weeks sometimes to get all the sin out of people. Sometimes months. So it isn't just as I am without one plea and you walk down the aisle and it's over. He says, I'm not he who begins, but he who endures to the end. You have to endure through all the suffering because a father that loves his son chastens him. He wants to get all the sin out of our life, which means, and it's so easy, just kill you. And the reason that you don't want to die is because you don't want to die. You want the onions. You want the leeks. You want the happiness. Yeah, I want Jesus, but I also want, you know, a nice marriage. Ah, you want both? No. Seek first the kingdom of God. I'll give you the other. You cannot get those other things. He just gives them to you. But only if you seek first the kingdom. You can't seek first the kingdom and your good marriage and to have a lot of finances and to be good looking. The problem today is the church is double-minded. And a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. He's not coming back for such a bride. So, here's the problem. You can't do this. Only God is God. And only God cannot be gainsaid. You cannot go against anything God wants to do. If God wants to destroy the earth, he has a right to. If God wants to redeem the earth, he has a right to. He can do whatever he wants. No one can stop him. Now, listen to Moses and see how this applies to this day and see whether this isn't good news. Then the Lord said to Moses, now you will see what I will do to Pharaoh. You can't do it. Moses can't do it. I will do it. For with a strong hand shall he let them go, Pharaoh. And with a strong hand, because he's the power guy, he's the head of the government, shall he drive them out of his land. In other words, he'll push them out. And God spoke to Moses and said to him, I am the Lord. Now, when God uses the word I am, he said, you don't know me as the Lord. I am. But I'm going to introduce myself now with a new name. And Moses said, well, what is your name? I'll go and tell the people that you're going to set them free. He said, just tell them my name is I am. I'm the one who is. Did you know that you is not? Are you aware that you am not? The only life you have is borrowed. If God stopped talking today, you'd be dead. If he wasn't talking to you personally, you would perish. Your bios, your biological life, is totally due. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. This is how you live. By every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Do you realize today you would be dead if he wasn't speaking? You live by every word that comes out of his mouth. If he's done with you, you're done. If he no longer speaks toward you or to you, and if he speaks to you and you ignore him or you rebel against him, all he has to do is stop speaking and you're done. Satan has no life if God doesn't speak him into existence. Satan is just a creature. He can end Satan just like that. When the Lord Jesus comes back, he will destroy them by the word of his mouth. There'll be a sharp two-edged sword coming out of his mouth, which means all he has to do is speak the word. If he just simply ceases to speak, if he says, depart from me, then you're departed. That is power. And our God can never be defeated, nor can he be prevented, nor can anyone question him, nor can anyone tell him he can't do that. If he wants to show law and destroy, he may. He has every right. He has all the power. He has the capacity to do it. But if he wants to forgive and restore, which he does, he can do that too. And he does. And you are the object of his love. Every man is. But you have responded and said, I believe that God cannot lie. And that's why I'm here. And if any change takes place in my life, in my heart, God will have to do it. In my soul, God will have to do it. Killing my old man, God will have to do it. Bringing forth my new man, God will have to do it. I will take them by my own right hand. I will take them out of Egypt, which no man can do. I will put them in their own land, and I will take them through the wilderness until they're dead. And if they have any sin in them, they will not enter into my promised land. Did you know that you cannot go to heaven with one sin? Now, if you go into heaven, you will never get through the gates. If you knock on the door and say, you know, I've done a few good works, you will not make it. God will not accept any of your works. Then what will commend you? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. The fact that Jesus is in heaven is the only way you're going to make it. And the Holy Spirit, when He has come, He will convict the world of sin because I go to the Father. That's all your righteousness in Jesus. Jesus was not righteous for Jesus. He was righteous for you. And if you put your faith in Him, then you can stand before Almighty God and say, guilty or innocent? Innocent. Perfect. Pure. Based on what? Based on my faith that Jesus Christ not only died for my sins, but He sent the Holy Spirit and cleansed me and purified me, and good works that came forth from me, which I don't even know about. I'm not even aware of them. I don't even know when I helped somebody or blessed somebody. But He did it all. I give Him all the glory. I'm sure if you read the books, you've got all my good works, if I had any. And you have all my faith, which I know I had. I put it all in Jesus. And the Father will accept you and say, well done. But if you point to any works that you knew you did, then you know you will never make it into heaven. Because there, every work you've ever done is stained. It's spotted. It's got a little bit of self in it. It's got a little bit of self-interest in it. It's got a little bit of you in it. Therefore, it will be unacceptable. No flesh will ever see God. No flesh will ever see God. No flesh will ever see God. You have to be born of the Spirit, filled with the Spirit, led of the Spirit, transformed until you are nothing but Spirit, and that's not true today. You're not there yet. How many know you've begun, but you are not yet arrived? And until the day you die and that trumpet sounds, you will not have arrived. And on that last day, He who began a good work in you will surely complete it. The one who began a good work in you, who gave you that free gift in the first place, He's the only one that could give you the gift, and He's the only one that could keep the gift, and He's the only one that can restore you to the likeness of Jesus Christ. Because you don't look like Him today, act like Him today, talk like Him today, walk like Him today. You are not yet. Your marriages do not yet look like Jesus. But if there's anything good in your marriage or in your life, God gave it to you. To God be the glory. And I don't know why you're not thanking God every second of every day. I don't know why you're looking for happiness. You already have it. Well, I'd like to see it. Well, you're not going to see it. If you believe, you will see. Well, I believed and I didn't see. Well, then you didn't believe. Would you call God a liar? God says if you believe. Now, if you believe something, you don't see it. If you believe, you will see. That's future. Will is future. You will see. In other words, today when you put the seed in the ground, you don't see the fruit. You don't see the plant. You put the seed in the ground, you come back the next day, you don't see any green. You don't see a little sprout. You don't see a stalk. You don't see any fruit. You see nothing. And the next day you come along, you still don't see anything. Maybe by the third or fourth or fifth day, you might see a little sprout come up because it's been working on roots. It's been dying. That seed has been dying and that husk has been dying off for the first 3 or 4 or 5 days until there's nothing left of you. And then there's a germ inside of there. And that germ is not you. That germ is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That germ is a power that you don't have. That germ in there is not the husk, your flesh. That's the spirit that God puts into you when you go into that ground. Most of you don't want to die, but unless you die, unless you lose your life, you won't find it. And nothing will come forth. After that green comes forth, that's not Christianity. That green is just evidence that there's something alive. But that doesn't mean you've made it yet. Because God didn't plant you just to have a little green come forth. That's just food for the insects. A goat will come along and eat that. Am I right, Norman? Anytime you plant something, you don't know, it's green, that doesn't mean anything. You're not going to eat the fruit because there is no fruit. It takes a while for that fruit to come forth. So first you get the little leaves coming forth, then you get a big stalk, and then pretty soon the thing begins to get brown and so on and so forth. Then you see a little bit of blossom. And then you see a little bit of fruit. But it doesn't even appear till it's at the end, at its maturity. You don't even know what it's like. And it wasn't even for you. The plant doesn't even eat the fruit. If you bore the fruit, you don't eat it. It's for somebody else. You live for somebody else. Isn't that pitiful, awful, terrible? That God would raise you up at all that effort and work, and you know what? You don't get anything. For somebody else. They get to eat you up. Have you ever been eaten up by somebody else? And a lot of people, after eating you, spew it out. You weren't that good. You didn't taste that good. How many know that a lot of your fruit is poison, making people sick? You all see this? Powerful. Now, the good news is God did make a promise. And here's the promise he made. See, this is not a law. He's speaking to Moses, the lawman. This is a promise going all the way back to Abraham. He's not making this promise because of Moses. Now you will see what I will do to Pharaoh. This is a promise. For with a strong hand, he will let you go. With a strong hand, he will drive them out. That's all the governments do, strong hand. And God spoke to Moses and said, I am the Lord. I appeared to Abraham 430 years before. 1491 minus 430 is 1921. So, about 2,000 years prior, 2,000 years after the earth began, Abraham, in 1921 BC, Abraham and God spoke, and he gave him a covenant. And now here it is, and we know exactly when that date was. We know exactly what happened on that day, but when you read your Bible, you won't see it because you're not seeking that hard to know. But it's important what happened on that day. On that very day, and you won't read this in the Bible unless you look really hard. There was a weaning that took place between two children. One was Yitzhak, Isaac, and he was weaned at 5 years old. We don't wean babies at five today, but they did in those days. He was weaned at 5 years old. He'd been with his mother for 5 years. And his older brother, who was quite a few years older than he was, despised him on that day and began to persecute him and said, you are nothing. I am the one that does the works. My religion is a religion of works, not like your father, Abraham, who's also my father. But I do works like my mother because my mother's from Egypt and we believe in a religion of works. We believe that a man has dignity to do stuff. You believe that God does everything. You little five-year-old runt, you're a nothing. And he began to mock him, and his mother said, throw out the woman and her son on this very day. I don't want him or her to ever inherit in this house. Out! And Abraham said, that's my son, my firstborn son, Ishmael. I can't separate him from my people. And she said, I don't care what you say, I say out. How many know that women are strong? How many know that women are strong? You better know it. And God did not use Abraham, but Sarah to speak his truth. And Sarah took Abraham's words, his religion, and she pressed it on him and said, if this is a religion that is true, then don't just talk it, Abraham. Do it. Kick the woman out. Works and faith don't go together. Either God does it all or we do it and help him. If Ishmael's right, then you go with Ishmael. But I'm not going to have it. I'm going to go with your religion, which you talk about, but you're not willing to do because you don't want to sacrifice. And Abraham said, well, You're wrong. That's my son. I'm going to put these two together. What God has separated, let no man put together. What God has joined together, let no man separate. So when he puts faith together in his people, he doesn't want anyone to separate that bride from her bridegroom. I believe we are to be joined to Jesus, Yeshua. Doesn't come through Ishmael. Why? Not because there's anything wrong ethnically with Arab peoples or Muslim peoples or somebody else of a Semitic race. No, it has nothing to do with blood. It has to do with faith in the blood of Jesus, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of this world. Cannot come through Ishmael. Ishmael's only hope is that she separated so that Israel may follow God. But Israel herself did not follow God. And now, through Moses, Israel will see her sin, not her saintliness. So, 430 years later, God keeps his word and does it. But Moses will not do what God saith to do. Moses himself will break the law that he gave, just as Abraham did not follow the faith that he believed in, but his wife did. Thank God for a woman that believes her husband more than he believes himself. Did you know that your wife can actually point out your contradictions? Are you aware of that? A good wife is someone that will not do what you want, but be obedient to God and say what she feels. Well, I don't feel it's right. Well, I don't think you're right. I think you're wrong. Well, I don't care if I can think this thing through or not. I want the woman out. I love such a wife. Wouldn't it be great to have a wife like that just talked right up? Because she could see her husband was going to go foolish. Do you all see what a beautiful wife that is? Are you all aware of how great that is to have a wife that will defy her husband and say, I don't care what you said, I don't believe you're right. And she just spoke right up. Do y'all see that? This is a good wife. This is a woman who will not be put down, not be made second. She just spoke right up. I think I'm with God and I think you're not. There's a good wife. Do y'all understand me? Could anybody here say amen? So God used the woman. What's a wife for? Just to do what the husband says? Why not God? She didn't submit to Abraham. She submitted to God. She said, I believe Abraham's religion is the true religion, but I believe Abraham is not following his own religion. And Moses, who taught the law, did not follow the law. He hit the rock twice, and God said, be perfect, and he wasn't. So he's out. Just for that one sin, he's out. He's out. Now, had it not been for faith that God spoke to Abraham and said, I will, regardless of your disobedience, I will make you a great nation. I will give you a land. I will curse those that curse you. I will bless those that bless you. I will bless all the families of the earth through you. I will make your name great. I will show you a land, and I will give it to you. There's a God you want to listen to. Regardless of what Abraham did, Abraham messed up time after time after time. He could have no faith in his faith. He could only have God's faithfulness in his faith. I believe not in my faith. I don't have any faith teaching. I believe in God to be faithful, not me. I don't keep my promises. God does. Do y'all see that? It's because of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God. Abraham didn't do it. He wasn't perfect in his faith. Moses wasn't perfect in keeping the law. So whether it's the covenant of law or the covenant of faith, no man can keep anything. Only God doeth good. Only God is good. No one else is good but God. That's Abraham's faith. Did you know that even if you mess up, God can still bless your marriage, your life? You can mess up all day long, but God can still bring good out of evil. Because God's the one that promised. I don't care how enslaved you are, you can be free by God. The minute you believe in God, you will be set free. If you think this world counts, you know nothing of God. God can do whatever he wants, whenever he wants, however he wants. And here's what he said, and nobody can stop him. If he wants to bless all the families of the earth, That means none are cursed. That means none are cursed. Now, if a nation is cursed, that doesn't mean all the people in it are cursed. He said, I will make of my church out of all the families of the earth. I'm going to have every family that you know of, Chinese families, black, brown, yellow, green, it doesn't make any difference. I can make out of my world a remnant out of every nation, out of every tongue, out of every tribe, out of every family. I will make a church that will be pure and spotless and holy and true and eternal. Now, this world will not end until God has done that. And that's why right now it's still going on. And it's going on furiously throughout the world today. And the fact that we're going through trouble, here's where you find out what kind of people you are. If you gripe and complain, if you wish and you hope, if you do not have confidence today that God is doing a great work in us and this suffering and this judgment is good for us so that we return back to our foundation and become a bride without spot or wrinkle. We are paying justly for our sins. God could at any time judge America. It's not a good nation. Only God is good. He owes America nothing. No, it's God's promise alone, and we have fallen away from that promise. We, not the bad guys out there, the good guys in here. If you, just you alone, do you know that there's great power in one person's prayer? That's all God needs. Just one. You could be that one today. You could be that one. All we need is one. We don't need thousands and millions and trillions and billions. We just need one. One man could put to flight 1,000. 2, 10,000. Imagine the geometry involved in that equation. All God is looking for is a handful of people. Jesus himself only had 12 disciples and he lost one. But he easily replaced them because the script said so. And whatever God has said, that's what he's going to do. Now, I believe these are the greatest hours, the greatest days on earth. I believe we're about to hear the end of the end of the end. Jacob's trouble, 3.5 years, hasn't come yet. It is not today. Israel, you're not going through the furnace. Israel's going through the furnace. How many thank God for that? Yeah, let Israel go through, not us. Thank God. Let somebody else. Amen. Well, you know what? That's going to show your true colors. Because if you don't join with, all those people are secular. They're not even, they're not even real Jews probably. Besides, they're polluted and they're full of the Kabbalah and all kinds of witchcraft. Yeah, so what? God made a promise. How many know that he can take a witchcraft person and turn him into a saint? He can take a harlot and make her a bride, a virgin. How many know that God can do whatever he wants to do at any time? It's not up to your pre-brain to figure him out. If God wanted to take you and make you into a saint, he could do it. That was funny. If God wanted to take you and turn you not only into a pure heart, but a pure soul and a pure life, he could do it and restore your marriage, your business, your neighborhood, your church, whatever he wants to do. And I'll just tell you right now, he's going to do it. He's going to do it. Now, he's not saying to you, obey me. He's saying to you, trust me. Your problem is that you love God, but you do not trust him. Your problem is you love God, but you do not trust him. You love him because someday he's going to save you after this world is over. But you don't trust him on a daily basis to surrender your life to him. God, whatever you want me to say, I'll say. Whatever you want me to do, I'll do. Whatever you want me to will, I'll will. Whatever you want me to feel, I'll feel. Whatever you want me to think, I'll think. Whatever you want me to be, I will be. That's what he's looking for. Who's ready today? I want to go all the way with God. I don't want to be me anymore, but I can't stop me being me. I can't make a decision to make that happen. But God didn't ask you to. He doesn't want you to. He just wants you to surrender and say, God, I can't. Surrender is not, okay, I'll help you. No. Surrender is, I can't. I don't have the freedom. I don't have the liberty, the capacity, the ability. I just don't have it. If I stay alive, I'll still be me running the show. Surrender is stop. And somebody else has to force you to surrender. You didn't come willingly. Oh, I'd like to surrender. You came because God forced you. But he won't force you. God cannot force you. God will not force you. You have to come freely, All he does is make a promise. All he does is make a promise. Abraham, this is what I'm going to do. Abraham believed and it was counted to him for righteousness. Then he says to Moses, Moses, I'm going to drive out all the wicked. I'm going to take you out of Egypt. Then I'm going to take you into the wilderness. And then I'm going to take you into the promised land and set you there. Unless you, now if you don't die, I can't do that. And of course Moses didn't. That's why he never went into the promised land during his lifetime. I have also I appeared to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the name of God Almighty. That's El Shaddai. But by my name Jehovah, Yahweh, I was not known to them. So in other words, Abraham never knew me as the national, merciful God. He knew me as the Almighty, powerful God. El Shaddai. El, God. Shad, breast. God is the breasted one. He has two breasts. The right breast is the male or masculine breast. That is the breast of power. So God is the Almighty, the powerful one. But the left breast is the feminine, nourishing breast that said, before you can be a powerful king, you must first be a merciful savior. You must, before you tell your children what to do here, you must first of all nourish them, forgive them. When they're sick, take care of them. You must show that you're a shepherd before you become a king. You must take up the cross before you wear the crown. God has two breasts. There's his power. His power is not just to force over here, but to show mercy and tenderness over here, male, female, savior, king. Now, the Lord is to Abraham then El Shaddai, the breasted one. Now he said, but I never made him known to I never told him my name, Yahweh. But now that you're about to be a nation and not a single individual or not a small family, now that you're about to be a nation, you have to have laws. You have to set up a political house. You need to have the right foundation. It isn't, the reason I'm taking you out of Egypt is not because you're innocent and they're guilty. You're guilty as they are. You have as much Egypt in you as they have. You want this world as much as they do. You do not love me. Your heart is not with me. I have no reason to take you out of Egypt. The reason I'm taking you out is because you're a guilty people. You're a wicked people. You're a nasty people. You're a selfish people. But I'm taking you out and none of you even wants to go. You'd rather be slaves in Egypt with your security of your slave beer and your cheap vodka. In Russia, people would rather be slaved than free, because bread costs 10 cents, vodka 50 cents, and they can have as much as they want under communism. They didn't want to be free. They just wanted to have, and they hated it when they were set free. And that's why many of the Russian people want to go back to communism. Why? I'll tell you why. You don't even know why. People would always rather be slave rather than free. Why? They don't want to suffer. Even though they're suffering in slavery, they would rather suffer from man rather than from God, who's going to kill the self. Because at least under communism, you can still be idolatrous and immoral. Who cares that there's social justice, economic justice, political justice, legal justice? They don't. Do you know that man enjoys, and here's why, you may not know this, because then they can say to God someday, you know what, God, I would have served you, but they wouldn't let me. The master said I couldn't. The master said I couldn't. Ah, what an excuse. Do you know that people would rather hide from God than to serve him? Because they know that God wants everything. You see, man doesn't want everything. He doesn't mind punishing you a bit. You know, most people live in a bad marriage. Most people will put up with a bad economy. They'll put up with all kinds of slavery. They'll put up with everything. Do you know that people very seldom break free of anything? Did you know that? Because they just want a little bit. They don't ask for that much because they're evil. That's their evilness. That's their rebellion from God. They do not want to build the kingdom of God. They want to build their own kingdom. And even if it never gets built, never the pyramid is finished, they don't care. But they will not build the kingdom of God, because no man can build the kingdom of God. Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. They will be overthrown. Now, how can God then purify you? By a promise. It's his promise. I will take out you people. And he took them out. But he never got the Egypt out of his own Israeli people. To this day, they still have Egypt in them. To this day, they want God plus. They mixed the law, not with faith. They didn't have any faith in God to do everything. They had faith in themselves to help out. They're works righteous people. They're Hagarites. They're Ishmaelites. They never were Jewish. They never did accept the religion of Abraham. Do you all understand what I'm saying? The foundation of Israel was that God was going to do everything as he promised. That God was not a liar. But he made a covenant, and he cannot break that covenant. Now, God wants to make a covenant with you, and he doesn't want you to obey. He wants you to believe. He wants you to trust him. Happy is the man that trusts in the Lord. Do you trust that there's no problem today in the world? You're the problem. There isn't any problem out there economically, politically, socially, legally, or in any other way. It's you that he's after. He doesn't want to make you happy. He wants you to know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You're the problem. Why would he want to make you happy in your sin? God, I just want to be happy so I can debauch myself. How many know that that's not what God wants? That's what the big churches are doing. Leave the people in their sins. Don't tell them that they're sinful, because people don't like that. Look at all the people that left this church. And they didn't leave it because I didn't have miracles and signs and wonders, though they would have loved that. They left it because they didn't want to die and let only God be good. They don't want to just believe in that. They like to have a little pride themselves. Well, you know, you just aren't going anywhere. You aren't doing anything. You just talk, talk, talk. You don't ever do anything. How many are sick and tired of waiting on God and he never comes? Yeah. So, you're the dregs, the leftovers, the ones that we can't abuse any further. You're so abused that you're abuse proof now. You don't even hear it. You even say amen. No, the best is yet to come. You know, our brightest days are ahead. God has saved. He's got it behind his back, hidden. God has saved the best till the last. The finest work of God is going to be done now. Not only will God take Israel out of Egypt, not only will he defeat all of the enemy, and Egypt will never again be great. Egypt will never again be the superpower. Egypt was finished. Not only will God take out those people, but he will give them that land. And he had to kill off everybody in that generation but two people, including Moses. The lawgiver. The only two were Joshua and Caleb. All that generation that he took out of Egypt had to die in the wilderness. It took 40 years to kill off all that generation. Now the only thing that was left was children and Joshua and Caleb. How many know that Joshua is another word for Yeshua, Jesus? So only Jesus was left. God, when he says he's going to do something, even if everything has to fall apart, he'll still do it. He's not worried. He could have everything die and raise it all up again. God never lies. But you just don't, you cannot, with your own mind, figure him out. Oh, I think I got his secret. No, you don't. You are ignorant, say it, I'm ignorant. You are weak, say I'm weak. You're not only that, you're evil. Say I'm evil. Apart from him, you can do nothing. When I say you are, I'm talking about your am. Yes, of course, you could be good, but only if God does it. Yes, of course, you could be smart, but only if you have his wisdom. Yes, of course, you could be capable, but only if his power is your power. The Holy Spirit's in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. You'll never will it, and you'll never do it. And when it is willed and it is done, you didn't do it. He had to kill you to get that done. Over my dead body, exactly. That's exactly it. Now, you are going to be holy because God wants a holy people. And he said, the good work I began in you, I will surely complete it. Now, you will be holy people. How many, not will help him do that, how many just believe that? Against all odds, against all appearances, God will not lose. I like being with a God that is ridiculous. I like it. I mean, I don't see how God could ever have a winning strategy here. That he's going to work heart by heart, soul by soul, you know, family by family, church by church. It will take so long to get the thing done, and he's only got months left. He only has a few years left. We're already into the 7,000th year, and he hasn't even done anything yet. And we're running out of time. How many know that only God, I mean, it looks like he lied. It looks like he's impotent. It looks like he just, you know, is faking us all out. And it looks like we better do it ourselves because I don't know that he's going to do it. It looks like he's delayed. It looks like he doesn't know what time it is. He probably doesn't have a good watch. And it just looks like God's not even paying attention. The Ishmaelites are not only not dying, they're flourishing. The Muslims are just flourishing. They got billions of them, and they're growing every day. And there's more and more radicals out there than there ever was. And we, the church, are going down the hill. I love those kind of odds. Don't you love those kind of odds? When you get in a battle, what you want is everyone else to be faithless and only God to be faithful. When you get in a battle, you plus God is always a majority. And you don't count. So, you know, that is amazing. Just hang on to him. Because God is going to prevail. He's going to win. He's going to have everything he wants. I believe the best is yet to come. I believe we are looking at the finest days ever, and yet we're going to see darkness, chaos, all kinds of problems and troubles. But during those problems, during those troubles, during that furnace, we're going to have a hallelujah time. Because it's not up to us. Now, I know there's a few people here who have actually experienced miracles where you know that you know that you know that was God. That word I just spoke, that was God. That thing I just saw, that was God. That is Christianity, where God does it, and he does it all. Now, the more you experience that, the more you want more, because that kind of kingdom is not known on this earth. Many Christians are just Christians in name, nominal. They're not really Christians in truth from the heart. Their whole soul, their whole heart. I want you to love me with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, all your might, all your mind, everything you've got. I want it all. How many know that God wants everything? And he's coming back for such a bride. Now, if God could use you, he could use anybody. How many know that just in this room alone? Just in his first pew. Okay, second. No, okay. Third. Just right here. If he just had Joyce, how many know he could do everything he wants to do just with Joyce? If she were only surrendered to him. Now look at this fourth row. Oh, my gosh. What hope is there? Is this, if you were the only troops he had, what could he do? Now, can God keep his promise? Can you? Can you keep God's promise? You can do it. That's good. He loves liars. This is good. Okay, now, God is going to use you, not because it makes any sense to anybody, but because he can do the impossible. No one else can do the impossible. We cannot do what's impossible. That's not possible for us to do the impossible. What's possible is for God to do, and for him, what's impossible to us is easy for him, because he spoke it from the foundation of the world. He said, let there be light, and there was light. He said, "There, let there be," and whatever he said, that's the way it was. And that's the way it is. And that's the way it'll always be. And he will never go back on anything he has said. If he gave a law, it'll be complete. It was in Jesus. Now, that same law that Jesus did, he's going to work it into you, write it on your heart, then write it into your soul, then write it into your life, and you will see there is a God that can transform you, your family, your church, your neighborhood, your country, your state, your world. I believe that God will do everything he said, and I believe that we live in those days when even Israel itself will admit we weren't holy. We never were a righteous people. It isn't the anti-Semites and the anti-Jewish people. It isn't the anti-anybody. It was our own sins that got us into all the trouble. It was our own sins that got us where we are. You know, the church today is not much of a light because we haven't taught them that. The church today is proud, arrogant, lifted up like the Jewish people were. But when God destroyed their temple, they lost their religion. And ever since then, they have never, ever recovered from that blow. The temple, the temple, the temple of the Lord. When Nebuchadnezzar first came, they all hid in the temple and said, well, it's one place that they cannot go, God's house. The problem is, it wasn't God's house. God's house is not a building made with human hand. God's house is not a fancy, pretty, awesome place. It's the people. God's house is the people. You are God's people, or you're not. And if you are, it has to be with all your heart and all your soul and with all your strength. And only God can do that. You didn't get a new heart, God did it. You're not going to get a new soul, God will have to do it. You can't even crucify your old self, God will do that too. You can't transform yourself into the image and likeness of Jesus, God will do that too. Let God do it all. Let God be God. And let you just be the taker. Say, Lord God, I can't even obey you or believe or anything, but I believe you cannot lie. I believe you will keep covenant. Everyone knew him as his name as creator, known to all mankind. In the Hebrew, it's called Elohim. But call what he wants. You know, call, you know, Allah, whatever. They all believe there's a creator God, but they don't know his name. But he made his name known to Abraham and said, I, Elohim, am also El Shaddai, but I'm also Yahweh. And when you become a nation someday, I will make myself known to you as a God who can rescue a nation from all its enemies. I will pull you out of Egypt. I will take you through the wilderness and nourish you and then destroy you until you are mine. And then I'll resurrect you. And I'll take you across the Jordan. And I'll take you into the promised land. But the people of Israel refused. And even though all the wicked generation died off, the children themselves, like unto their parents, did not believe. And when he brought them to Jerusalem, they did not believe in Yeshua, HaMashiach. Even to this day, the Jewish people hate Yeshua. They killed him then, and they're still killing him now. But I tell you why. It's because we refuse to die. The reason Jesus is dying today in the eyes of the Jewish people is because we have not surrendered to Jesus ourselves. No wonder they don't believe in Jesus. They've seen us. No wonder they don't believe in Jesus. They haven't seen our mercy. They haven't seen our love. They haven't seen the glory of God in us. They've seen us looking just like the world. They know why you're a happy Christian, because you have beer. You still eat onions. You have Jesus plus something else. Take it away, and they will curse God. And God is saying, no, I have a remnant of Christians that no matter how bad things get, they will praise me, they will become strong, they will draw close to me, they will not turn. How many are here? No matter what, no matter how bad it gets. Now, you cannot make that promise and keep it, but you can believe that God can make that promise and keep it. And he will. And you will make it, and someday you will look back and realize, God did that. God did that. That was a work of God. I could not make it. I knew I couldn't get any further than I was. But God did that. Now, I believe this will transform the world. If we just had one in here that believed these things, if we just had one, it could transform the entire nation. The entire nation. So, who would like to be first? Norman, Tommy, Greg, who else? Anyone else? David, Clay, Larry. Good, Greg. Anyone else? Yes, yes, yes. Yes, praise God. Anyone else? Latrice. Yes, Barbara. It's kind of like, yeah. Amen. He likes that. Because there was no lie in that. He said, well, you know, kind of, yeah. That's good. He likes that. That was good. But what you're saying is, I can't do it, but he can do it. If he does it, I want that to happen. It's powerful. That kind of cry God hears, and he will respond to that cry. There's no pride in you. There's no pride in us. You know you can't make it. You know if it's up to you, you're going to fail. You're going to fall away. You're going to quit. You're going to give up. You're going to surrender to man. But God has made the promise, not you. Doesn't want you to help him. Doesn't want you to do it. Wants to do it for you. Relax, relax, relax. He's got angels. How many know he's got angels? If he wants to get something done, he can just speak a word. Doesn't even need the angels. He can just do it without the angels. No. Much more powerful people than you. You're just dirt people, made out of dirt. How many know that dirt people aren't that fancy? It's just dirt with dress on it. That's all. It's just dirt. In the end, it's just dirt. It goes back to the dirt. But he can glorify himself in dirt people and make them non-dirt people by putting in a new heart, that seed that goes in. The Word of God will create a whole new creation that will then blossom and show forth so that this world will have a light and salt in it, sprinkled everywhere, shining everywhere, projecting the majesty of God everywhere, so that your family is louder than words. Your own personal life, controlling your own tongue, this is louder than words. Your crucifixion of your flesh, this is something that speaks to people. They don't want to hear words. They want to see deeds. They want to see the kingdom of God. They're not going to enter until they see it. They can't even find the door right now. Oh, come to our church. Come to our church. Come. Yeah, they just don't see the kingdom. They just see hypocrisy, talk. They don't see the life. The reason is you don't want to die and suffer until you say to God, God, look, whatever it takes, if it takes my suffering, let it be. Whatever it takes, whatever it takes. I don't want to just be a regular Christian because that's not getting the job done. I can tell that the gates of hell are still there. We are not winning and they are not losing. They are winning and we are losing. But that's no problem. We have a God that can resurrect any situation at any time and restore his purpose because he never loses. If you believe that, then happy are you. Because he's going to do it. All right, God is great, God is good. Is it 12 o'clock? I don't want to go over because of the restaurant thing. But then there won't be a big line. So there you have that advantage. All right.